Now let's continue on here. All these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they were communing together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Now he was able to appear in a little bit different form. So here he comes and he's walking with them. And their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said to them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, so that it names at least one of them, answering said to him, are you only a stranger in Jerusalem, and you have not known the things which have taken place there in these days? And he said to them, what things? And they said to him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, and mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and have crucified him, but we trusted that he had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Now the disciples were looking for a political solution to the captive state of Judea at that time to deliver them out of that and restore the kingdom to Israel. So they didn't understand any of the prophecies. So we'll see that again a little later on. And besides all this, today is the third day. Sunday, Sabbath, Friday. That's the third day. It has nothing to do with the third day of Jesus rising from the dead. But this is the third day since all of these events have taken place. Now let's continue on. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which came to this early to the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. Now, we're going to understand something here about how we are to believe. Because if we get a message from a true angel, we are to believe it. Verse 24, and certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even as the women had said, but they saw him not. And he said to them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Now let's understand something. When we know the truth, we are to believe it. And of course, how many times did Jesus tell the disciples that this would happen? Quite a few times when you read the gospel account. Now notice, verse 26, ought not Christ, or was it not necessary for the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And right while they were walking along, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So that's why it's very likely that this whole journey to Emmaus took 3 hours. And as they drew near to the village where they were going, he made as he would have gone on further, and they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent, and he went in and remained with them. And it came to pass, as he sat to eat with them, he broke the bread, and blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Now, we don't know how long it took for them to get the bread, but probably they just went into the inn and sat right down at the table, and the innkeeper, since it was the Feast of Unleavened Bread, probably had all kinds of unleavened bread and brought it right up to them. And that's when Jesus did this. He blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. Then at that time, verse 31, their eyes were open and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Gone. As a spirit being, he could just go. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? So it's partially true that he opened the minds of those two disciples on the first day of the week to the scriptures concerning his death and resurrection. But as we will see, it is not true for the rest of the disciples, because the sun went down, ending the first day of the week, and the instruction, as we will see, that he gave to the rest of the apostles took place on the second day of the week. So, which day should you worship on now? The first day of the week or the second day of the week? Because he taught more of them on the second day of the week than he did on the first day of the week. So if you're going to use that as a criteria for keeping Sunday, well, then you've just lost your criteria, because now it's on another day. Let's see that as we go along. Now, verse 33, so they arose the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. Now, remember, it's 7.5 miles. Now, how fast could they go to get back? Obviously, their adrenaline, you know, their adrenaline glands were as soon as they knew it was Jesus. So they had plenty of adrenaline to go pretty quickly. Now, we know they didn't do any 4-minute miles, because you can't go a mile in 4 minutes and continue that for 7.5 miles. So let's figure that they had 15-minute miles while they were jogging to get back. That means you have 7.5 15-minute segments, which then is almost an hour and 50 minutes to get back. So we're looking at 4:30. So we're looking at 5:30 getting, you know, right up there to 6 o'clock. Maybe it was 4 o'clock, and maybe we're dealing a little after 6. But you see and you understand the time, how close you are to sunset by the time they get back there. So let's read that. And found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and as it appeared to Simon, and they told what things were done in a way, and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. And as they thus spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst, just appeared just like he disappeared. And he said to them, Peace be unto you. Now, why were they assembled? Were they assembled there? Now, remember, the sun is just about ready to set. Now, let's come to the account in John, the 20th chapter, and let's see why they were assembled. This was not the first Sunday meeting to begin the New Testament church. There was another very valid reason why they were assembled together, and we'll see it, and John records that here in John 20, and let's pick it up here in verse 19. And the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, or the first of the weeks, now remember, it happened just before the day ended. So there could not be too much activity that took place on the remainder of that first day of the week. When the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Now, why were they afraid of the Jews? Because, remember, the guards went and told the priest and the Pharisees that his body is gone. And remember, they bribed him and said, well, we'll give you the money and you go say that the disciples came and stole the body away, and we'll make it right with the governor. So they were afraid that the soldiers and the priests and Pharisees were going to come and arrest them and kill them too. That's why they were assembled there. This is not a church meeting. This is not observing another day that's holy instead of the Sabbath. They were there because they were scared to death and afraid they were going to be arrested and killed. Okay? And came Jesus and stood in the midst and said to them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side, and then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Now, we're getting pretty close into being the second day of the week, aren't we? Because remember, the first day of the week ends at sunset. Now, don't come and tell me midnight to midnight, because that has no standing here. We have to go by the facts which we see in the Scriptures. Now, let's come back to Luke, the 24th chapter, and let's pick up the rest of the story and see what happened. Okay, verse 37 now, Luke 24. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are you troubled? Why do your thoughts rise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet. See, it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit has not flesh and bones as you see me have. So, since he became a human being, he could also manifest himself back in a human type form, flesh and bones. And of course, he did that to show them that it was really he, that he was really alive. Now, this is phenomenal, because we don't understand what it's like to be crucified and die on the cross. So this is really a tremendous thing that he is alive. Now, verse 40, and when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet, and while they yet believed not for joy. So, you see, even though they had joy, they still didn't believe, and he's sitting there right in front of them. So he's got to convince them a little bit more. And wondered, and he said to them, Do you have any food? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb. And he took it and ate before them. Now, how long did this take? 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 25 minutes? We don't know. Doesn't tell us, but remember, we're getting closer and closer to sundown, ending the first day of the week, aren't we? Yes, we are. Now, the rest of it goes on into the second day of the week. And he then taught the apostles at this time. And then he opened their minds to the Scripture, not on the first day of the week, but on the second day of the week. Now remember, it took 3 hours for Jesus to explain that to the two disciples as they went to Emmaus. So it took him at least that long, maybe even more, because he went through all of the prophets with the two disciples. Now we're going to see that he did more than that in explaining to the apostles here. So this had to be into the second day of the week. So this destroys all the logic for keeping the first day of the week, because Jesus opened their minds to understanding. Can Jesus open their minds to understanding any day of the week? Yes. Does that change the Sabbath from the seventh day of the week to the first day of the week? No. But if it did, then perhaps you ought to consider the second day of the week, Monday, beginning sunset Sunday to sunset Monday, as the day of worship, if that's going to be your criteria. Now, let's read on here and see. Verse 44, and he said to them, These are the words that I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Now, this is far more than the 3 hours that it took for him to explain to the two disciples on the way to Emmaus. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. How long did that take? Well, I'm sure with all the excitement, it went on very late into the night, didn't it? Had to have. Now let's read on. And he said to them, now here's the conclusion of it. Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, that is necessary or obligatory, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and you are my witnesses of these things. Now that had to be on the second day of the week, because this was the finality of, after going through all the scriptures in the law and the prophets and the Psalms concerning him. And besides, he taught a whole lot more than just the 11, right? There were other disciples there. There were the 11. Now let's come to John, the 20th chapter, and pick up the story again. So you see all the points that they have as to those 11 reasons why that they keep Sunday have no validity, in fact, to change the day of worship. Okay, now let's come back here to John 20, verse 22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Now this is when they received the begettal of the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, they received the Spirit for preaching and the extra gifts that they needed as apostles. And verse 23, "And whoso sin you remit, they are remitted unto them, and whoso sins that you retain, they are retained." In other words, they were to discern between those who would repent and didn't. Those who repented, their sins are forgiven through repentance and baptism, laying on of hands. Those who didn't, they didn't receive the Holy Spirit. And you can just put in your margin there, Acts the 8th chapter, we have an example of that with Simon Magus. This is not giving any license to the Catholics to now say that you must have a priest that you confess to. No stretch of the imagination is that implied here. Then we have the account. Now we have here Thomas. One of the 12, called Didymus, was not with him when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said, "We've seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into the to his side, I will not believe." Now, when did that happen? Well, obviously, that was the next morning. Perhaps this happened on the day portion of the second day of the week, being Monday. Now, verse 26. "And after 8 days," so 8 days, this has to be going clear into Tuesday. Now, here's another important meeting. This is a repeated meeting, is it not? Why was not this day, Tuesday, then, used as a proclamation for a new day of worship instead of the seventh day? I mean, this is important, isn't it? Because a doubter, Thomas, believed, didn't he? Okay, verse 26. "And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. Then Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said unto them, 'Peace be unto you.'" So here's a repetition of what he did 8 days earlier. "And he said to Thomas," come here, "reach here your finger, and behold my hands, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, 'My Lord, my God.' And Jesus said to him, 'Thomas, because you have seen me and have believed, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.'" Now, I want you to understand how important it is to really believe the scriptures. Don't believe the silly arguments of men. Don't ever again sit back and think, "Oh, how are we going to answer these Sunday keepers?" I'll give you the real answer here in just a minute. We're answering some of it. Never on a Sunday, maybe on a Monday. Now we've got a Tuesday. Now what are you going to do? All right. Now verse 30. "Many other signs did Jesus did in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book." What about the days that those occurred on? What about those many other signs? "But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Now, just turn the page and come to John 21, the very last verse. And let's see, there were many things that were done. Okay, verse 25. And there were also many other things that Jesus did, which, if they were written every one, I suppose, now this is through his whole ministry, obviously, not just the times that he appeared to the disciples. I suppose that even the whole world itself could not contain the books that should be written. And this also tells us that the apostles wrote the Gospels. They didn't leave it through oral tradition for 400 years and then let the pagan priest of the Roman Catholicism canonize the Scriptures. That's a fairy tale. That's not true. Okay, now let's come back here to the first part of John 21. What occurred this day is a very important day too, isn't it? Now, we don't know what happened. I mean, we don't know on what day this happened, rather, but we do know what happened. It just, in verse 1 says, and after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. That's clear up in Galilee. Now, was this after they met him at the mountain in Galilee? We're not told. But anyway, the story is this. They were out fishing all night. They didn't catch anything. And Jesus came and stood on the shore. It was morning. They couldn't quite make out who it was. And he asked him, he said, well, have you caught any fish? And he said, no. They told him no. So he said, well, cast the net on the other side. So they cast the net on the other side and they caught 153 fish. In the meanwhile, Jesus up on the shore, he creates a fire, has fish cooking on it, and has bread. Now, where did that come from? Well, Jesus probably created it. Well, now, wouldn't you not think that's an important day? Should we not use that as a day of criteria? Did not Jesus teach them? Yes, he did. We'll see here in just a minute. Yes, he did. Did he not miraculously feed them? Yes, he did. Did they not miraculously catch 153 fish? And 153 is a type of all nations, by the way. Remember when he first called them. So this goes clear back to the first calling, doesn't it? He says, come and I will make you fishers of men. Now then, what took place? Verse 15. And when they had dined, after they were done eating. Now we don't know what time of day it was. Maybe it was 9 o'clock in the morning by this time. So does this show we should start services at 9 in the morning? Now, should we be outside by a lake? Should we have fish and bread? Is that what it's telling us? Well, you see, when you take the logic that they have used to justify the first day of the week, when you start applying it to the things that took place after Jesus was resurrected, it all falls apart in a big heap. There is no justification for Sunday keeping at all whatsoever, nor any command of God, nor any command of Jesus Christ. Just the justification of men wanting to keep their Sunday keeping. Now, here's where he said to Simon Peter, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yea, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, feed my lambs. Now, is that not commissioning him to do a work for the church? Yes, it is. But it also applies to all the other apostles as well, but chiefly to Peter, because he had denied him 3 times. And he wanted to make sure that Peter understood that he had to love him more than any of the others. And this, by the way, did not establish Peter as the first pope. So he asked him 3 times. Do you love me? He said, feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Okay, since we're right here in this area, let's go back to the book of Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Now here's another occasion. And this occasion is, it could be considered a reason for establishing a day of worship based on the criteria that's given in this book. Now verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Now, was this a worship service? If so, should we not keep this day as an authentic day? Well, no, because it has nothing to do with the commandment, you shall remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. See? Now notice, Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given in heaven and earth unto me. Now, what day did that meeting take place when they were there in Galilee? We don't know. It doesn't tell us. It doesn't tell us at all. Now, when we come to the book of Acts, there's a very interesting place right here in the book of Acts, chapter 1. And we'll see where we get. Never on a Sunday, maybe on a Monday, and we could put there probably on a Tuesday, but definitely on a Thursday. Now let's come to Acts, the first chapter, and begin in verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day that he was taken up after that he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandment to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days. Now, which one of the 40 days do you want for a day of worship? Now, you count 40 days, and you have 7 weeks and 5 days. And since he appeared to them on the first day of the week, being the first day of the weeks, counting toward Pentecost, you have 35 days, which is then 5 weeks, and then you have 5 days, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Now, notice what took place on this last 40th day. All of the criteria for keeping Sunday fits on this day more profoundly than any other day. Therefore, according to the criteria that they have given, the Protestants should not worship on Sunday, but Thursday. Now let's read that criteria again. He met with the disciples. Well, he met with them all 40 days, didn't he? But this one is a special one. Number two, he blessed them. We'll see here. Jesus undoubtedly blessed them. Number three, commissioned them to preach. This is where he made it really clear. Number four, authority to the apostles. Yes, he gave it to them. Number five, a day of joy and prayer. Number six, Jesus preaching the gospel and opening their minds. Well, he opened their minds all during the 40 days, but here he preached the gospel to them. Now, let's read it here, okay? 40th day, being on a Thursday, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Is that not preaching? Yes, it is. And being assembled together, so it was an assembly, wasn't it? It was a meeting, wasn't it? And commanded them, so there he's giving them authority and commanding them, that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water. So he's giving a sermon, isn't he? I mean, this Thursday is really a better day. If you're going to use this criteria to determine which day to worship on, then Thursday has got to be the day. Okay? But you wait. You shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. And when they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom unto Israel? And he said to them, so he's teaching them, isn't he? It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power after that you have received the Holy Spirit that has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem. Now here's the commission to preach the gospel, correct? In Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the world. Wow, what a day this must have been. Now notice, and this should have made this day more holy than any of the other days, because look what took place. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Now, that's the day they should have made holy because they saw the Lord go to heaven. Now, you see, when you take faulty logic and follow it through and see how consistent it is, it all falls apart. Of course we should not meet on a Thursday. Of course we should not make that a holy day. But if you're going to take the criteria that they had said, the reason that they meet on Sunday, it really fits on this Thursday more perfectly than any other thing. Okay? Now, verse 10. And while they steadfastly looked toward heaven, he went up. And behold, two men stood by them. Now, maybe it was the same two angels that were there at the sepulcher. Stood by them in white apparel, which said to them, you men of Galilee, why are you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. And they returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went into the upper room where abode Peter and James and John, and it lists all of the apostles then. Now notice verse 14, and they continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Now that ought to give good criteria for making a day holy. Now you see, I am being a little foolish and facetious. And as the apostle Paul said, the false apostles forced him to be foolish. So what I have done, I have taken their arguments and applied it in the way that they say they apply it, and we really come up with Thursday as a day of worship. Now then, let's come back to Matthew 28, and let's see what they were to teach. Obviously, it was not to get rid of the Sabbath day. That is ludicrous. Any man who says that Jesus came to do away with the law does not understand the scriptures. Anyone who said that because of these things we keep Sunday doesn't really understand what he's saying. In other words, their minds have not been open to understand the truth about Jesus Christ. Their minds are closed. Now let's notice here, Matthew 28, and let's pick it up again in verse 18. Let's see what Jesus said. And then there are a couple of other scriptures that we will add to it to show and make it absolutely clear that no man can undo the Sabbath of God and proclaim another day holy regardless of the circumstances involved. Now verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. You go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe, now listen carefully, all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now, nowhere did Jesus command that Sunday was to replace Sabbath. That cannot be included in any of the instructions that Jesus gave the apostles. So the apostles never taught Sunday keeping. The apostles never taught holy day keeping. The apostles taught the scriptures. And even as late just before the death of Paul, Paul wrote Timothy and said that you have known the holy scriptures from a child, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through Jesus Christ. There is no basis for Sunday keeping at all, anywhere in the scriptures, any place, in any time, for any reason, for any excuse. There is no justification for it at all whatsoever. Now, let's come back here to Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter. And let's read this again. I know we have read this, but we need to read this again so that we can really get our perspective straight. Now, verse 15. Here's Moses speaking, and this is the prophecy of Jesus Christ. This is one of the prophecies that Jesus opened to their understanding on that night being the second day of the week when he went through the law and the prophets and the Psalms. And this is a vitally important one to understand. The Lord your God will raise up unto you a prophet from the midst of you of your brethren like unto me. Unto him you shall hearken, according to all that you desired of the Lord your God in Mount Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more. In other words, Christ coming in the flesh was an answer to those Israelites who rejected listening to the commandments of God, which the fourth commandment said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, verse 17, the Lord said to me, they have well spoken all which they have spoken. I will raise up a prophet, who is Christ, from among their brethren, like unto them, and will put my words in his mouth. So he spoke everything that God the Father wanted him to speak. And he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words which he shall speak in my name, I will require it. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, the 11 reasons why we keep Sunday, that is presumptuous in the name of Christ. Notice what he says. Which I have not commanded, and he never commanded Sunday keeping. So I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. Now, Sunday keeping leads to death. Sunday keeping has nothing to do with true Christianity. Now let's come to John, the 12th chapter, and we'll end here to show that Jesus is enforcing these words true to what he has said. And anyone who believes the silly arguments of Sunday keeping certainly do not believe the scriptures. You may use some of them. You may have a fuzzy feeling in your heart. You may feel good about it. You may have joy and praise worship on Sunday, but you know nothing about God. Now, let's pick it up here in verse 47. John 12 and verse 47, this is the fulfillment of Deuteronomy 18, and Christ is the one. If any man hear my words and believe not, and he said, think not that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. I come not to destroy but fulfill, and there are many people who don't believe that. I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejects me and receives not my words has one that judges him. The word which I have spoken shall judge him in the last day. And that's when the workers of lawlessness are going to say to Jesus, haven't we done many wonderful works? Haven't we preached in your name, cast out demons, and prophesied? And he will say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. 4, verse 49, I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever therefore I speak, even as the Father has said to me, so I speak. So that's why we should keep the seventh day Sabbath. So remember, never on a Sunday, maybe on a Monday, kind of on a Tuesday, but definitely on a Thursday, if you're going to use the kind of logic that is given here in this book. The Canadian office is Post Office Box 125, Brockville, Ontario, K6V5V2, Australia, Post Office Box 81, Sale, Victoria, 3850, New Zealand, 47 Sunview Road, Glen Eden, Auckland. Republic of South Africa, Post Office Box 21279, Helder Cruin, 1733. United Kingdom, Post Office Box 39, Devon, PL 1999RL.